lifting our hands to you. Here we are, and giving you thanks for all you do. And as we praise and worship your holy name, you are here, dwelling within our praise. Here we are, lifting our hands to you. Here we are, giving you thanks for all you do. And as we praise and worship your holy name, you are here, dwelling within our praise. Here we are, lifting our hands to you. Here we are, giving you thanks for all you do. And as we praise and worship your holy name, you are here, dwelling within our praise. Here we are, lifting our hands to you. Here we are, giving you thanks for all you do. And as we praise and worship your holy name, dwelling within our praise. Oh, here we are, lifting our hands to you. Here we are, giving you thanks for all you do. And as we praise and worship your holy name, you are here, dwelling within. Holy name, you are here, dwelling. worship your holy name. You are here, dwelling within our praise. Here we are, for all you do, and as we praise and worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Your holy name, you are here, dwelling. giving you thanks for all you do.
appreciate this session of worship here today, and I remember Brother Brown giving a testimony about, I don't know who was flying the plane, but he was in a plane with someone. Maybe it was Brother Bud, I can't remember. But anyway, the plane lost either altitude, fuel, end up landing in a bean field or something, some kind of field, I can't remember. But they didn't get hurt. But when the plane finally stopped, he said, "Here we are." I was thinking about this song here. You know, we're in God's house today. Here we are. And we're to worship him and lift him up. It's no better place. I'm going to tell you, there's no better place that you could be than here in the house of God. And then this morning we had such a good Bible study, and I couldn't help but think the scripture in 2 Timothy that says, "Study to show thyself approved, workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I was thinking about, you know, the Bible. A lot of it is literal. It means just what it says, and some of it's symbolic, and it's got pictures that. The illustrations, things that you just have to try to find out what God meant by that. And so I appreciate a workman. Brother Smith is rightly trying to rightly divide the truth. You know, we want to know, you know, what's God mean by these things. And I appreciate that, you know, having sat in on, you know, that kind of session to be able to listen and hear. You know, the Word of God explained, because it's not just what it, you know, it's printed on paper. You know, I remember Brother Tucker used to tell us that sometimes it's what you have to read between the lines, you know, not just what it says on paper. So anyway, I'm thankful today that we're in a place that we can hear the truth and hear it discussed. You know, I know we're blessed to have Brother Smith, but, you know, he's not just depending on his thinking altogether. You know, he's giving us what God's given him, but he's consulting with other men, other ministers. And that's the safety of this. You know, Brother, we've heard that over and over, you know, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that very much. And be in a place of where, you know, I might have something in my mind, you know, that I feel strong about, but, you know, somebody else got things on their mind as well. And I appreciate in a place like this where the Word of God is discussed, not only, like I say, here locally, but out nationally you know, hearing other thoughts. You know, God's talking to people, and he's speaking, and we want to know what he's saying. We want to know what God is saying. And things that happen in history, I appreciate the history. See, we get some history lessons while we're here, and I appreciate that. And showing us, you know, letting us see, you know, that all through history, you know, that God's hand is, you know, his creation. This is God's creation, so God's hand, his hand played a part in everything that's going on. You know, God rules in the kingdom of men. So his hand is in what's going on. Sometimes it may be hard to see his hand, hard to see where God is working, but his hand is in what's going on. And we just have to find, even like we're blessed to be in a church that we reach out and seeing God's hand in a service, you know, how he blesses certain things. And we're to look for that. We're to, you know, sometimes I don't like to take inventory a lot of time in my life, you know, because I don't want to see where I'm going wrong, but I need to see that. You know, I'd rather just go ahead and you know, hope for the best, but I need to see, you know, I need to take inventory. I need to do that. So we have to watch God, and we're watchmen. We're we are to see God. We're to see what God is doing. You know, songs and testimonies and things that are going on in church. We need to see, you know, if God's in it. You know, we want to look for God in our life. And I appreciate having that thought, having the understanding that we're to look for God. I've been in places where, you know, seem like they just carry on and whether God's there or not. But we want to search for God. You know, we want to know that God is here. You know, that He's interested. He's concerned about what we're doing. So it's a blessing to be here today and to be in God's house and to feel this wonderful covering of the Spirit while we're worshiping Him. I appreciate that, and we need that. We need to be able to feel God's covering, you know, of our lives, and to help us in this walk. Because this is the walk with God. We're not walking alone. You know, I hope you're not thinking you are, but we're not in this alone. God is helping us. Even our Savior Jesus realized he was not just walking alone. He wasn't even interested in doing his own thing. He was wanting to work for God, showing that, you know, God was directing his life. Sometimes it's difficult to get the right mindset in life. You know, Brother Smith was helping us with some of those thoughts about the mindset, you know, even with the young people. We are to let God help us with that, you know, be able to get the right mindset. Because sometimes, you know, I know that. I mean, I've experienced, you know, not having the right, even in a church service, I'd have some on my mind. And I'd be wanting to say something about it, and I realized that I'm glad I did say something about it. So anyway, that wasn't the right mindset. I mean, I just wasn't in the right mindset. But anyway, it's a blessing. Even if you expose yourself, that's happened too. It happens as well. But that's necessary. So anyway, all of it is good. They say it's all either good to you or good for you. So it's all good. So anyway, it's good to be here today and to be able to begin to lift our voices. Terrence, right? Yeah. All right, Terrence and Granada. Is Granada? They're here again. I missed them. A few services and the children with them. And Jonathan, hadn't seen him in a while. Yeah. Been here with us. Good to have him today. Brother and Sister Crow made it out today. It's good to have them. It's a blessing to have them here. We went to my wife's mother's birthday. Her birthday is 2nd of May. She turned 90, Sister Crow. She's ahead of you, but anyway, she had a nice little birthday session for her, and we was talking about having prayer. They want me to pray all the time, but I said, I never heard a 90-year-old pray, She didn't pray yesterday, but anyway, we're in good company with the 90-year-old people, and I'm glad that God has blessed us too. I never had that kind of longevity in my family. I know Brother Smith, his mom is in her 90s, and oldest person I've had in my family that I remember is 85. But anyway, I tell my wife that she'll outlive me for sure because she. She's got a great grandmother that lived in 103, something like that. So anyway, she got the edge on me. But anyway, anyway, we'll see. God is good to us. So let's just Jasmine, you're not hiding, are you? Jasmine, good to have you here today. She's my next door neighbor, Brother Smith, but I don't ever see her except when she comes to church here. But anyway. She's my neighbor. I know she got to live there, but I see her brother, Malcolm. He and I, we see each other some. But she brought her grandmother. That's good. Very good. Very good. All right. Anybody else? We don't want to miss anybody. Sister Rochelle's daughter, Denisha. Yeah, we got you. I didn't get it right again. It's all right, huh? Okay. She forgive me. Okay. So let's remember our needs. Pray for
Brother Crafton is having some chest pains this morning. Ooh. Sister Julie stayed with him. He hopes to be with us tonight service.
All right. Remember Brother Mike.
And then somebody else is sick. Who is it? Oh, Brother Oates. Brother Oates is sick today.
All right. Remember.
Well, they need our prayers.
Brother Oates this morning. All right. So, okay. Remember that job situation. So, to Linda. Yes. And this is who? Aunt. Okay. Yes, of course. Remember the Della Rosas. Sister, I'm sorry. All right, remember Brother Larry. Back. All right, remember Sister. Sure. Okay. Brother Jeff. Remember Brother Jeff today. Pray for him. God will touch him. Touch his situation. All right. Somebody else. Sister Donna. Unspoken. All right. Remember that. Needs Sister Abraham. All right. Remember that today. Okay. Sister Ann. Remember that request and pray.
Also,
for
Brother Tally,
yes, sir.
Sister Crow really needs us to pray for her.
She's
got an appointment with a doctor tomorrow. She's got a lot of pain and having to walk with a walker. And, of course, Brother Crow needs our prayers, too.
All
so
right.
Let's keep holding them up in our prayers.
Yes.
I think we ought to be praying, too, for these victims of this storm.
Tornado.
It's our area and a lot of deaths and a lot of devastation. God can use that to bring forth his glory in several ways. So let's just pray that God would have his will with that and touch and comfort hearts and maybe even be able to save souls out of that.
Just remember the people that suffered but are still suffering losses. And, of course, we always like to see the good. There can be good come out of things like that, and that's what you have to look at. I mean, you have to keep that hope alive that some good will come out of it. And people working together, that's good, too. Neighbors working together. I know Brother Brett had talked to somebody about getting some help, but they was not actually needing any help at the time, right? They needing help now? Okay. All right, so if you, is there some kind of concerted effort? Okay. All right. Let's remember these people and Any other requests that we might mention, needs? So I guess the ushers come. We'll do an offering. And let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and ask that God would help his people. Lord, we look to you this day, Lord. We come before you. I ask that you help each one, Lord, and help us that our hearts will be full of compassion, O Lord, for your people. Thank you, God, for this day, Lord, that you've given us. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Bless each one. So look on these requests, Lord. Help Brother Brian, Brother Larry. Help him today, Lord. Brother Jeff Pryor. Touch his heart today, Lord. Help him his condition. Oh, hallelujah, Brother Mike Crafton. Lord, help him. Glory, 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 glory. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Help your people. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Look on each need. Spoken and unspoken request, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Merciful Savior, merciful Savior. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. For us to bear, then here.
such a thankfulness in my heart today. Oh, God. Oh, God. He never lets us down. He's always there. No matter what time I call on him, he's there. Oh, God. I'm so thankful he brought me to this church. I'm so thankful. At a young age, and I didn't know a lot of things, and I still don't know a lot of things. But I've got a thankfulness today and a hope that I'm going to know. I know he's going to open my eyes to more things, and I know better things are coming. Oh, God, I just wanted to get up and say I thank you today for all you do for me. Oh, God, I'm so thankful today. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing that he can't do for us today. I believe that in my heart. If we just lean on him, Lord, and we reach out to him and call on him, there's nothing he won't do for us. Oh, God, if we only believe. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, and help my unbelief, Lord. Oh, God, I need you. I can't praise him enough today. On my way to church this morning, he just touched me so in the car. I thought, Lord, if I make it to church, it'll be a miracle. But I trust him. I trust you. Brother Smith, please forgive me for not making Bible study, because I'm trying to be faithful to that. But I had company come in and they left this morning and I didn't have time to get ready. But, oh God, I desire to hear the prayers of all of you, and I desire them for my children today. They need it. Oh, God. I don't know what the Lord's taken us through, but I'm willing to accept whatever. Oh, God, help us, Lord. I'm just so thankful to be here today. I don't want to put a damper on this good spirit that I feel, but I just had to get up and say how thankful I am to the Lord and everything he's done for me and how he's touched my life and what he's done. And every time I call on him, he never lets me down. He never lets me down. I'm so thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. Oh, God.
Serve a full service, Lord. He can meet our full needs. Today has been like a spring rain. I've been down in the valley, and the path is getting a little cleaner. And I know it's the Lord bringing me through it. I can't help myself. It's been a struggle for a while, and well, I still got the struggle, but I've got a new feeling, and I'm thrilled to death. If I could explain it, I would. Praise the Lord.
I just want to tell you people how much I appreciate you. We've had some that called us, sent prayer, they've sent cards to us, brought food to us. And I just can't tell you how much we really appreciate it. It hurts me because that I can't
I can't walk without other than just with a walker, and I want to take care of Harlan as long as I can because he's always been good to help me, and we help each other. And we've made it okay, but you know, I can't get around as fast as I want to, but I've learned to slow down. But anyway, God is so good. We miss coming to church. I just can't hardly stand it because we can't come to church. And I know there'll be a time that we won't be here at all. I mean, we won't be able to come. But as long as we can come, we're going to come. But because after all, church is our life. It's our life. And I feel so bad when church time comes and y'all are all here and we're not here. But anyway, the Lord knows we've tried our best to be faithful. And I appreciate the people that's been coming to bring us to church. So good to bring us to church. We appreciate that more than I can ever tell you. So anyway, it's good to be here today. And I thank you all for your prayers. Just keep on praying. And I'm hoping that I will get to walk it. I just woke up one morning and I thought it was okay, but I couldn't walk. I had to have a walker. So anyway, I've been making it pretty good. I've been cooking. I do my laundry because I'm a person, I don't sit down. I just keep on going. But anyway, I'm being able to do my work. Of course, naturally, I'm not doing it all by myself. My daughter's helping me and all, and we've done pretty good. But anyway, I missed y'all so much, but we're thrilled beyond compare today. We're just so thrilled to be here. It's good to see everybody. I miss y'all. I get lonesome for you. And it's good to hear your voices. It's good to know that you're taking on the work and all. So anyway, it's so good to be here today.
Church, because they give us strength and they help answer our prayers. Our prayers have been continually to bring our children back in where they've been raised and taught about God and the scriptures and everything. And it says when you teach them when they're young, when they grow old, of course they're not old, they're still young people, but thank God that that world doesn't have such a hold on them that they can't find their way back. I know it takes a lot of courage to get involved in things and then let it go and try to get your way back. It's not easy. You have to work your way back. But God's going to bless you for doing it, and thank you for being here. And don't stop. Don't stop coming.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord and feel the good spirit of the Lord. Appreciate everyone that's here and these good songs that almost felt like we could just get a good rain in here. We need that, you know. The Spirit of God is a tenderizing effect, or has a tenderizing effect on the flesh. And a lot of times when I'm praying for someone that I know, you know, I can tell they haven't touched God in a long time or maybe ever, and I see them start to break, I start telling them, Give over to that. You need that. We all need that. God, to help us get tender towards Him and soften our spirit where He can humble us down. It's not just tenderizing, but it humbles us. It takes humility to serve God. Did you know that? That's Brother Liniger gave us those principles of faith and humility and fear of God and honor. Those four things are very important in serving God. The tabernacle is a picture of God's saving plan. If you look at the tabernacle of Moses in the wilderness, it was a there was over 3 million people out there in the wilderness, and 12 tribes, three tribes each around the tabernacle. Three tribes to the north, three to the east, three to the south, three to the west. And those were large communities. I mean, just think about it. It was about the Little Rock, Arkansas metroplex. If you take the whole metropolitan area, I don't know if y'all know this, but it's up close to 900,000 now. It's approaching a million. That's amazing to me, because it was about 675,000 six or seven years ago. And I just looked it up the other day, and I was kind of shocked. But in other words, it would be about seven times bigger than this city, this whole metroplex. That includes North Little Rock and, probably 20 miles across or radius, all the little towns that joins it. And that is inside the metroplex. And can you imagine something that big out in the wilderness surrounding the tabernacle? And it was on the eastern side, the eastern gate. You got in the gate. That's faith. It takes faith to serve Him. You got to have faith, and you don't. The Bible says, if you look at it in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, that there's a that every if you in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. In the seventh verse, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." These principles are principles of grace, God's grace. It's His salvation for mankind, God's grace. He's gracious to us when He touches you, and then we all have a measure of faith from this grace. Just naturally, you know, when you see God's creation, you get in this world and you get old enough to start considering, what is this all about? What's life all about? I was talking to somebody the other day, and I mentioned to him, I said, I don't know why we have to get so old before we gain enough wisdom. I don't think wisdom comes just by age, but age does enhance it. I can tell you that, because experience. But I've met old people that aren't too wise. You know, I've met some older people that are pretty ignorant of the things of God and have not considered a lot of things in life. In other words, I've just watched some people, and they as they get older, I've watched their lives just go to waste. But at some point, you do have to consider God in your life, and there's a measure of faith. I mean, at some point, you have to wonder, where did all this come from? How did all this get here? You know, and I know you know there's the creation of God, but there's a lot of other teachings out there that, you know, there's still some scientists, educated people, that actually thinks this just evolved. That blows my mind, to be honest with you. I've often said that this Big Bang theory, that this creation just, you know, it just happened. You know, that's somebody said it would be easier to believe that that you could walk inside of a big junkyard and all of a sudden a Boeing 747 would just poof out. There it'd be, you know, just take all that junk and metal and wires and cans and everything, just put together a tremendous airplane with all the sophistication and technology that they have. That's is intricate and vast and enormous and amazing as this world is, to think it could just happen is beyond my comprehension. Anybody could even think that way. Even if they don't know God, the Bible says that a fool says in his heart, there's no God. You just look at creation. Romans 1:20 said that the invisible things of God are clearly seen, being understood by the things that were made. Some of the things, even his eternal power and Godhead. That just means that he's a head God. He's ahead of everything. He created everything. When you look at creation, you almost have to know that there's a creator. And to look at his creation, there's a certain amount of faith that comes with that in believing there's a God. But then it takes more than that to really know him, to become a part of his saving grace. God, Jesus said, no man comes unto me except my Father draws him. God has to see something in your life. You have to get in some kind of condition that God can reach out to you and draw you to him. And it takes God's Spirit to quicken his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear? Romans 10. Except there be a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How somebody said to me today after Bible study, Brother Paul David said, I really appreciate you being studious to give us these things in Bible study. I said, well, Brother Paul David, I really can't take much credit. I said, God does that. I said, I don't even think that I really have the fortitude to study just because I want to. I think God stirs me up. You know, God called me to do this, and just like he may have called you to play in the band or lead the song service or play an instrument or do whatever God's gave you as your main thing. You know, Brother Leniger said, you know, when he used to sell, he was just a poor preacher, and he used to sell furniture and paint houses and do anything he could do to make a living. And he sold bedroom suits. He'd have in one bedroom in Oklahoma City in his apartment, he had a colonial bedroom suit, another one he had a Spanish bedroom suit, another one he had a traditional, and another one, you know, would be something else, French or whatever. And this, he had an ad in the paper selling bedroom suits, bedroom furniture. And so a lady came one time and she wanted to look at these bedroom suits. And so he showed her one bedroom to the next. And she said, "This one right here, the colonial, this is what I want." But she said, "But I don't want to buy it. First, I want to get my bedroom painted." He said, "Oh, is that right?" He said, "I paint too." He said, "I'm a painter." She said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yeah. Why don't you let me come look at your house and I'll give you a bid on painting your bedroom for you." So he did, and she hired him. And so he was over there painting, and her little boy was watching him paint. And a little while he said, "Preacher, can I ask you a question?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You paints, you sells furniture, and you preaches. He said, what is your main thing?" It was amazing to him that he'd done all these things. Yeah, of course, Brother Lincoln told him, said, "Well, my main thing is preaching, but they do these other things so I can eat and have a roof over my head while I preach." So anyway, I never will forget when Brother Lincoln told that story in Montreal, Canada, and he had an interpreter, and the interpreter was in, you know, he didn't know what a bedroom suit was. So he called it pajamas. When they said, I sell bedroom suits, the interpreter said, "I sell pajamas." And this woman came to each one of these bedrooms to see these pajamas. And I mean, the people wasn't laughing or nothing. They were just in awe. And Brother Lineger, he was having fun telling this story about his main thing, but they wasn't worried about his main thing. They was wanting to know what he was doing selling women pajamas from one bedroom to the other. I finally got wind of what was going on afterwards, and I told him what happened, and he said, "Why, you mean they don't even know what a bedroom suit is?" Anyway, it didn't bother him a bit, you know, that they was worried about it. But anyway, I wanted to get them straightened out on it, but he didn't care if they got straightened out on it or not. He got his story told. Anyway, the Lord. I was telling Brother Paul David, I said, I don't even think, you know, I think God, he stirs you up and, you know, causes you to be stirred up enough to study the Word of God, and then he gives you thoughts and gives you revelation on the Word of God. So I said, I'm about to get to a point where I don't think you got any credit coming for anything, hardly. God's so great. And faith, God has to give you faith. You don't have faith in God enough to know Him unless He touches you. And the way He does that is someone will preach the Word of God to you, and God will quicken it to your hearing. You'll feel the Spirit of God quicken you, and something will tell you that's right. And you believe. You'll begin to believe in the Word of God. And so, and as God gives you more understanding of the Word of God, it takes knowledge first, and then finally it comes together as a picture. And you have faith. Your faith is your understanding of the Word of God, because you've been quickened by revelation from the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God does more than that, like this song we just got through singing. It's the first time I heard that, Sister Pryor. I like that song. Falling like rain. Sometimes that happens. The Spirit of God just starts falling on us. God does that for you and I because He wants you to know He's real. That gives you faith. See, I can't deny that I feel God. I've felt Him so many times. You can't deny that. That gives you faith. And what did it say? When your burdens get too heavy to bear, then here comes the Spirit of God to come touch you. God touches you to help you and strengthen you and give you faith that He's with you. You're going to make it through whatever you're going through. And and that's what would we do if we didn't come to church? You know, our faith would have to be faith in man, faith in self. It wouldn't be faith in God. See, Jesus said, any man that comes up any other way, the same as a thief and a robber. If you got faith in anything besides God, you're a thief. You're a robber. You're robbing what belongs to God because He is the one that gives you the air to breathe and every other thing that you have in life. You got it from God. He made it possible for you to be one of His creatures. And we really are to get to a place where we're thankful for God letting us be a part of His creation. And we ought to want to be a part of whatever He wants us to be a part of. Which I can tell you, He wants you to be on the inner circle. He wants you to be the apple of His eye. He wants you to be right on the very intricate part of the very center of what He's doing in this world today, in your generation, and in my generation. God wants you to be right in the middle of what He's doing. And for you to be that, you'd have to be a part of the minority. You'd have to be a very small part of God's, what God's working, the center of what God's working on. God's working, we've talked about it in Bible study, He's working on this whole world. He's the one that set up this nation. He's setting up other nations right now. He's setting up powers. God's in charge of the whole world. Don't give the devil any credit for anything. The devil ain't in charge of nothing. Just mark that down. He ain't doing nothing that God ain't letting him do. But God's in control of everything, even He does. Even when He went to in Job's case, when the devil got involved with that, God only let him do what he would let him do. And it all was to fulfill God's purpose. The devil thought he instigated something, but God stirred up the devil to get him to do it. See, that's the thing about it. You can't get ahead of God. He's light years ahead of all of us. And I can just tell you right now, He's setting a trap for you if you'll fall in it and let it humble you, then He'll save you. That's what God's looking for, every measure there is to save you. And He knows how, but He won't make you. He won't force you. Not all the way, all the time. God does force sometimes. He'll force His way in your life to a certain extent. But He won't just force you to serve Him or be righteous. Eventually, God will turn you loose. If he puts you in a prison, or if He spanks you, or if He puts you in some kind of condition to humble you, he's forcing Himself on you to save you. It's hard to understand sometimes how God operates, but He does operate that way. But He won't just—he'll finally turn you loose if you keep wiggling and fighting and beating the air and saying, "Turn me loose, Lord." Well, He'll finally say, "All right, I'll turn you loose." But He'll always be looking for another way to reach out to you and save you. So faith is a very important principle to get in your life. In fact, you can't know God without it. That's why it's the gate. That's how you get in this.
It takes faith. You've got to believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You've got to finally believe that in God's Word. You've got to believe in the saving plan of God. You've got to be obedient. That now, after you quit, you start believing. See, the next stop after you get in the gate is the brazen altar. And that's where the sacrifices went. And there's where humility comes into this plan. You have to humble yourself and offer up the sacrifice. And God's not interested in sacrifices of animals anymore. He never was really interested in them. That was a picture. That was a school to bring mankind to understand that God wants you to sacrifice your life. He wants you to give up your will. He wants you to destroy your desires unless they fall within the realm of His will. You have to, when you come to Him, you have to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever." Just like Sister Donna, that's what you got to keep saying. You got to keep saying, "Whatever I have to go through, whatever God wants me to do, whatever He's doing in my life, I'll take it. I'll accept it, and I'll keep serving Him." That's sometimes not it. It sounds good to your ears, but when you start digesting it, and it starts really getting in your life sometimes, it's not easy to digest, but that's where the humility comes in, is to keep your sacrifice of your will on the altar. You've got to put your will and the imaginations of your mind and all that you desire in life. You've got to say, "Lord, I want Your will more than I want my will. If this, what I'm doing, doesn't fit in Your will." I was talking to a lady last night. You know, she's wanting to buy a dog. She said, "Could I talk?" She said, "I think I want to do this, but I'd like to sleep on this and pray about it." I said, "That's what I think you ought to do. I think you ought to pray. People ought to pray about everything. I think they ought to give God a chance to turn them a different direction." You know, some things you can't pray about everything in life and wait for an answer. I learned that when I started buying cattle in auctions. You know, when the auctioneer's auctioning off, you can't say, "Well, I like that cow, I'm going to pray about her. Well, she's fixing to sell in just a few seconds. She's just going to be in that ring maybe about 15, 20 seconds. That auctioneer is going to be rattling off, and you're going to, you know." I remember the first time I went with my daddy to an auction, you know, and I raised my hand and scratched my head. He slapped my hand. He said, "You keep your hands down, boy." He said, "You're fixing to buy a cow, and I don't want that cow." I said, "What?" Anyway, he said, "Watch. These men, they raise their hands when they're auctioneers auctioning. You know, they raise their hand up, and they take your bid. And if you're the last guy bidding, you just bought something." So I learned you got to pray before you go to the auction. You got to say, "God, help me to know what to buy. Don't let me buy some old, you know, cow that I'm going to bring home. She's going to die or something. Help me to look. You got to be wise enough to know a little bit about life." So there's certain things you got to be prayed up for. You can't. But you do need to have enough humility. You need to not have enough willingness to say, "God, not my will, but Thy will be done. Help me to stay humble enough to serve You." And you don't get that overnight. Humility is a principle that has to be developed in your life. It's a characteristic of righteousness towards God, the right attitude towards God to want Him to work His will in your life, and you're walking by faith. You're walking, trying to learn the ways of God, keeping the Word of God intact in all of your ways. What does the Bible say? Acknowledge Him in all your ways. You got to learn how to acknowledge God. Keep recognize that, you know, He's for Him to be the Lord of your life.
And it's not something that you're going to get overnight. It's something you've got to, it's a lifelong study to serve God. But it's the blessed way. It's if you want to be blessed in this life, in this creation of God, you know, you can go the way of the world if you want to, but you're just headed for heartaches and sorrow. You know, there's fun in sin for a little season, the Bible says. But there's a price to pay. There's a big price to pay. And so the quicker a person can learn that, the more blessings of God they can have. To learn obedience of the Word of God, you have to learn. It takes time to learn all about God, all about His Word. Have an understanding of the things of God, and then have a fear of God. That moves you into a higher place of growth in God. How does it say it in the... You can take those verses in 2 Peter, the first chapter of 2 Peter there, and apply this right there in that in these principles exactly the same way, where you can say, add to your faith virtue. Virtue is power. It's strength. When you've got virtue, you've got a strength. There's strength. It's a touch of God. And to have enough faith is at the gate, but virtue is the power that you get from obedience and humility. That puts you in a place where God will favor you, because you've grown from just believing to do it. What Jesus told his disciples, he said, they that hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, they're building their house on a rock. The storm, they'll withstand the storms. But if you just hear, you might believe, but if you don't do what the Word of God says to do, if you don't get the doing, that takes humility, because it takes obedience. But that adds strength. So you've got to have enough faith to put in that practice and put some diligence into your servitude towards God. And so you're adding virtue. And that's the labor. There is virtue and strength. The strength of the Word of God is doing it. And God will favor you for that. God, He rewards you for getting in the center of what He's doing, why He created this world. Those that are in this way with God are the only ones that's going to survive before this is over. Those that don't obey Him are going to cease to exist. God's going to destroy them. But if you like this life, and I haven't found too many people that don't like it, I know you can get your life in such a mess that you're saying, I'd just soon die as live here. No, you just soon die as be going through what you're going through. But if you could get out of that and get in some of the good parts of God's creation, you'd want to live again. See, because life is sweet. You know, aren't you enjoying all the marks of spring that's come, all this greenery that's showing up, and the weather? You don't have to put on a coat to go outside. It's not going to snow. We're not going to have any ice. We won't have to cancel service tonight or anything like that. Well, you know, that's something that we appreciate about life, to see life springing forth, and just you know, you can walk out on a real pretty spring day and just smell good crisp air and just think, wow, this is a beautiful day. It makes you feel like life's worth living. But, and if you like this life, you're going to like eternity. I can't describe that to you. I can only imagine. I don't think I can imagine very far a world where there's no pestilence. You know, most of us, now if you grew up back 40, 50 years ago, you probably wouldn't be affected by what I'm saying, but today, most of us can't hardly go outside without shoes on, because we have to be careful where we step, and, you know, you can get stickers in your feet, and, you know, 50 years ago, a lot of people went barefooted because they couldn't afford shoes all the time. A lot of little kids ran around, the bottom of their feet was like leather. They could run across little pebble rocks and stickers and everything else. It took a thorn to get in your foot. You'd have to step on a thorn just about. But today, we've become more domesticated than that, I guess. And so now our feet are more tender. But to think no pestilence, no thorns, no stickers, just lush, you know, grass, no weeds, you know, wonderful fruit, nuts, and things that, you know, I don't know what it's going to be like in a world where everything's balanced and the temperatures, you know, all it's tropical all the time. It's going to be amazing to be in a world like that, and then to be where there's not any sin. You know, ain't nobody going to steal nothing from you. You don't have to have a lock on your door. You won't have to, the things is going to be so. Life is going to be easier. Man didn't have to live by the sweat of his brow until after the fall. We're going to get back on the other side of the fall, and it's going to be different. It's going to be amazing to live in a world like that. No sickness. I can't imagine no sorrow, no tears. I can't imagine that. That there's nothing could make you sad enough to cause you to cry. Can you think about that? That there's nothing going to happen that could be bad enough to make you fret over something. I don't know about that. No separation. You never will tell anybody goodbye forever. You'll never see another casket. The casket builders will be out of business. Won't be anybody building any more casket. Funeral homes, right now, it's a good business. I used to think when I was in the nursing home business, the next best thing I could get into would be a funeral home to go right along with this. It never would run out of business. But I'll tell you what, if you get to thinking about the next world, you could forget about funeral homes and nursing homes too. Sister Crow, that ought to help you a little bit just to know that one of these days you ain't going to have no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more dying. Sister Crow and Brother Crow can tell you about dying. They can feel death taking a hold, of your life. When you start getting older, you can feel. You can tell I'm going, there's something wrong with me. I'm there's something happening here. You know, when I was young, well, I just felt good, and I kept getting stronger and feeling good, and as far as my body was concerned. I can tell you something is wrong today with me. There's something happening to me that's not like it used to be when I was still considering myself to be a young man. Now see, Sister Crow and Brother Crow, they still think I'm young. They think I'm a young whippersnapper. And that's good. I'm glad somebody feels that way. Because I can tell you right now, Elijah don't think that. He thinks I'm an old man. So I thank God I'm in between something. There's nobody in here, Sister Brother Crow, that thinks you're young anymore. Because you passed that up already. You've already reached a place in life the rest of us haven't never experienced yet. But anyway, when you move from the brazen altar of humbling yourself to obey God's word, the next place that in the outer court of the tabernacle was the laver. It was lined with women's looking glasses, which was polished brass, polished pieces of glass, lined in the bottom of that laver, and then filled with water. And when you looked down in it, you could see yourself in that polished brass. And that's a picture of the Word of God, that when you look into it long enough, you'll see yourself. It'll reveal something to you. James said, when you look into the perfect law of liberty, if you're not careful, you'll forget what manner of man you are. So you look into this, but did you ever look in the mirror and then go away? I'm mindful today because my collar, see how that sticks up like that? Can y'all see that? Well, I noticed that doing that this morning, and there's evidently a stay gone out of that, see? And it's sticking up. It ain't got nothing to do with my neck being fat. It's just... Anyway, I'm mindful of that today because I looked in the mirror. But I've seen, I've seen other people walking around with their collar sticking up like that. And I thought, you ain't looked in the mirror lately. If you did, you forgot what you saw. Well, you can be that way. God can show you yourself in the Word of God, but if you're not careful and you don't keep looking in the Word of God, you'll forget what you saw. You forget that God showed you some things about you that He wanted changed. He wanted you to work on. There's a nature, a fallen nature of man that you need. He wants you to work on that. And in the laver, we're washed by the washing of the water of the Word of God, Paul told Timothy. And so God's Word is helping us to get a knowledge. First, it's knowledge. Here he said, add to your knowledge temperance, temperance, patience. Those knowledge, temperance, and patience is what you get out of the labor, out of that operation of the outer court. And God's saving plan, He first gives you, He gives you knowledge first of the Word of God, and then He tempers it in your life. First, you've got to get the knowledge of it, but to understand it, it takes temperance. Once you get, you got to make it yours. You got to carry the Word of God that God quickens to you out here into your everyday life, and that'll take you through trials, because it's just the opposite of what the flesh wants to do. You have to be obedient. You'll have to, that humility goes right along with it. Your faith, your humility, you don't leave one and go to the other. It just all keeps adding. You add to it. Added to your life. And so you have to get to a place where you've got knowledge of the Word of God, but you've got to live it. You've got to do what it says. When the trial comes, you've got to hold on to what the Word of God says for you to do. You've got to be able to apply it to your everyday life situation. And that tempers the Word of God in your life. You get tempered. You get stabilized in the things of God. The ways of God starts to become your ways. And patience comes after temperance. Patience is one of the hardest things there is to learn, how to be patient and wait on God to know what I'm supposed to do in this situation. I know stories in the Bible. I understand. I've got knowledge of the Word of God. I know I've been tempered. I've got an understanding. But how to handle this particular situation? Sometimes it takes patience. Waiting on God to give you the answer. Not jumping ahead of God. Learning how to work with God. Somebody said everybody in here works for God, because He's in control. He's in control. He sets up kings, He tears them down. The heart of a king is in the hand of the Lord. What's going on in every nation, God's in control of it. He's not in control of every little thing that you're doing in your life, except in a general sense. If you're not serving Him, then He's in control because He set all of this in array where you are in captivity of sin. And God controls that. See? See, if you don't know God, He blinds you of His ways and the operation of God. If you're away from God, you'll go blind after a while. I've watched men. I've seen men who were tremendous theologians that were great revelators and understood the things, deep things of God. And I've seen men get away from God and go blind as bats. They just go blind. They don't know. They don't understand God anymore. They get to following their own way, their own mind. Finally, they're in charge. They're the Lord of their life. And so, you know, and all what I'm telling you is not even, I haven't accomplished all. I'm still on this journey. I'm still having to learn patience, to wait on God, to get answers. There's things going on in my life that I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but I know God. I know I'm looking to God for answers about certain things that where I'm to be headed, what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to accomplish it, if I'm supposed to do it. You know, I'm waiting on God. It's hard to learn to be patient and let God direct your life, to get answers from God. So knowledge, temperance, and patience. And then you have to add to patience godliness. And after you get knowledge, temperance, and patience, you'll become more God-like. You'll become more like Him in your everyday walk, what you do. And that's it. Godliness, if you search that word out, you'll find out that it means behavior. It's not what it's your behavior. Godliness, and then it also has to do with your conversation, but not conversation of what's coming out of your mouth, but what's your life speaking of. What people see when they, what's your life saying to everybody else that's watching it? See, God, what people are watching you. Everybody in here, you got somebody watching you. Yeah, all even these little bitty kids. See that little girl, what's her name? What is it? Renaya. Where y'all get all these names? How do y'all come up with all these names? Sister McPhee, Denisha, where did you get that? Yeah, but you give her that Denisha part. Anyway, you see that little Renaya. Is that right, Renaya? Yeah, she's watching you. She's watching Denisha. And she's going to have a lot of her traits in her. She's watching that. All these little kids. See, Hannah, Elijah, she watches you. And she does some of what her big brother does because you influence her in certain ways. And you sometimes you even provoke her to anger just like she does you. But, I mean, you have a greater effect on her. And see, everybody's got somebody watching you. You're influencing somebody. And so that has something to do with the way you are. Your conversation is developed. You develop your conversation by influences. And what we all got to do is learn how to let God influence us. We've got to be influenced by the characteristics of God's righteousness. And so to become godly, add godliness, and then brotherly kindness. You know, the more you become like God, the more you're going to care about your brother, because you're going to begin to understand how God is love and how much God cares about everybody. And when you become like Him, you're going to be caring about His creation and everybody. Your life is going to become a servant to others. And that takes God to help us in all of that. That's moving out of the laver. Before you go into the holy place, that priest had to put on a white linen garment. You're going to have a change of nature to get into the holy place. To get back in the Garden of Eden, that's where we're headed. Get to a place where there's no sin. Get to a place where there's, you know, we pass between these two cherubims. God and Christ, the old and new covenant. God's wrapped up in all of that. For you to pass through that and pass through a flaming sword that turns every direction. It'll cut every smidgen, every inkling of flesh out of you. Before you can get back in the garden, you've got to get to a place that you're like God. And you love your brother. And you've already conquered sin. You've got to a place, you may not be 100% perfect yet, but you've got to a place to where you're out of the sinning business. You're living above sin. You're living above the ways of fallen man. I know that sounds impossible. But let me tell you something. It is impossible with man, but it's possible with God. It's possible. The Word of God speaks it, and you'll have faith to believe it. If you study the Word of God, for you to add to brotherly kindness, charity. Brotherly kindness is phileo love. That's where you've got a brotherly love. I care about my brother. I would share my life with him. I'll serve him. I'll help him. But I think you're going to have to get into the garden. You're going to have to get into the holy place and get the full sevenfold light and the full unleavened bread to get to a place where you lay your life down for your brother or maybe even a stranger. Jesus laid his life down for you and I. Why? Because he understood the plan of God. He understood it was necessary for him, but he also understood it was necessary for mankind. And saviors are going to rise up on the Mount Zion. It's going to take some more people giving their life for God's righteousness for others to be saved. I'm not talking about hanging on a cross, but I was thinking about that this morning. I was listening to that song, On the Cross. You thought of me. But I thought, you know, that's the cross is how they killed people back then. If it had been a guillotine, he'd have died on a guillotine. If whatever method they'd have for killing somebody, that's how Jesus would have died. But, you know, the method they had back then was a cross, so he died on a cross. But for us to get to this place of charity, love, godly love, agape love, where you love like God loves, it's going to take a place above sin. It's going to take a place moving into a place of that God's prepared for us that only those that are going to make the bride are going to be a part of that until the bride's made up. The new earth, everyone that reaches eternal life is going to have to achieve that. They're going to have to reach a place where God's done this in your life. And remember, I started out telling you this, that you can't have faith if God don't give it to you. You can't go on to perfection without God giving it to you. You're not going anywhere without God touching you, helping you, giving you the new nurturing you every step of the way. In fact, we don't even know the way there. God has to show it to us. Because way God's working on me, he don't work on you exactly the same way. Because you're not who I am and you're not where I am. So God knows exactly what you need, just like he knows what I need. And he's working, helping you work out your salvation, should be with fear and trembling. When you get to learn enough about God, you'll fear God. That's what knowledge, temperance, and patience does. When you get to know and really know God, and God starts working in your life, And that word fear, it don't just mean, it means fear, but it's more than fear. You will fear God. The closer you get to Him, the greater He becomes and the more awesome He is and the more significant His judgment is. And you won't want to not be judged because you're, you know, in other words, you're trying to escape His judgment. It's just that you'll understand that I just don't want to go through the suffering that I'm going to have to go through by not obeying God. I know that it, you know, somehow I've got to get all this out of my spirit, out of my life, and I don't, and therefore you will fear God's judgment because you'll understand that you cannot get by with sin, and you'll fear the evil that it'll bring in your life and the correction that you'll have to go through to fix it. See, it's not, you know, so you will have a greater fear of God, but it's a different kind of fear. It's a reverent fear. It's a reverent fear. It's where you understand God has to help. He's got to correct you. He's got to work in your life to get certain things out of your life. And the Word of God will do it for you if you can receive it. It's much better. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just remember that. That's what I'm talking about. You're going to understand that if I don't obey, there's a sacrifice to pay. There's going to be a sacrifice because there's something that's causing me to do what I'm doing that I'm going to have to die out to. And the deeper that scar gets, the harder it is to get it healed. And so it's going to take more power of God. It's going to take God dealing with your life more. That's some of the things I loved about this ministry that I watched some of our old heads. You know, when I watched them, they looked for God in everything. You know, Brother Leniger was that way. If he had something wrong with his hip, he's trying to figure out what is it that God's working on in my life. It might have just been something natural going on in his life, but he could figure out how to apply that to his spirituality. You know, he'd look at something wrong with his foot, he'd think, now that's the foot, that's the foundation. You know, he'd think, the feet, it's part of the preacher, that's the good news. Something wrong with his foot, he'd say, God, he'd start searching his life, trying to find out, what have I done? What I need to repent of? Like one time his left hand, it all broke out and stayed that way for several years. He said, I know what's wrong. He said, you know, the left hand has to do with men that, you know, your left hand's your awkward hand. It's a help. If you don't believe your left hand's a help, just tie it behind your back and go around with it about a day or two. See if you don't think it's some good to you. Especially if you're like me and you're left-handed. But anyway, but he said, there's men that don't, you know, I don't fit good with them in the ministry. I don't, you know, I'm awkward to them. My ways are awkward. We don't work good together. He said, I know God's showing me that's a hindrance to me, my life, and my ministry. And I need to learn how to work better with people that are awkward to me. See, he got to a place where he began to realize there's things I need a better balance in life. I need people that I don't, you know, do you ever just look at somebody and say, I just flat out right don't like the way that person looks. I don't want nothing to do with them because I don't even like the way they look. I know some of you probably saying, I don't like the way you look. How's my collar? Let me see. Anyway, so, but after a while, if you serve God long enough, you'll begin to realize, I need my brother and I need my sister. We sang that song, you are my brother, you are my sister, and I need you. I need every one of you. In fact, the ones I get along the best with, You know, I don't want to take you for granted, but I need the ones I don't get along with better. I need to learn how to love and get along with them. So, God's taking us on a journey. He's in charge. Get aboard. Get on board. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. This has been a good day. I appreciate the goodness of God. We're having service again at 5 o'clock this evening. And when is Mother's Day? Is that next weekend? Next Sunday. Mother's Day. All right. Well, we need to be thinking about that, men. We need to honor our mothers and if you're not careful, you'll get to a place where you don't have enough honor for your mama or your wife or these special women that are in our lives. So you got a week yet, some of you men, that if you hadn't thought about it, you need to get to thinking about it. Amen. You want to stand up, give him a praise before we close the service today. God bless your hearts for being attentive and letting me talk to you today. Thank you, Lord. God, for your goodness. Your great grace, oh God. Your mercy. Oh, precious Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us, oh God. Help us, Lord, to know you better. Serve you in a greater way, the greater diligence. Hallelujah. All right. If you do these things, you'll never fall, the Bible says. So I gave you something important today, if you'll take a hold of it. Shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you at 5 o'clock, band practice at 4 o'clock. Okay? God bless you.